God morgon från Paretodesken tisdagen den 1 mars. Äntligen ny månad, äntligen mars och äntligen lite ljust på morgonen. Det finns dock en del orosmoln på börshimlen vilket vi ska prata om alldeles strax. För Wall Street inledde börsveckan igår med att handlas mestadels neråt. Men det blev en blandad stängning och S&P förhandlade sig ner på minus 0,2% och minus 3% för februari månad. USA har ändå hållit emot bättre än oss här i Europa och i Sverige. Det breda OMXSGI-indexet föll 6,7% i februari och vår modellportfölj föll 6,6%, så vi klarade oss precis över vårt benchmarkindex. Lundin Mining och Synapse Software bidrog positivt till utvecklingen i februari. Lundin Mining steg 15% för månaden och Synapse steg 7,3%. Storytel underperformade och var den som agerade sänke i portföljen. Men vi såg också att Volvo, Bioinvent, Millicom och VEF handlades ner ungefär 10% för februari månad. 4 av 10 aktier i vår portfölj slog vårt benchmarkindex och för mars så gör vi en förändring. Vi plockar nämligen ut Sedana Medical och vi tar in Jetpack. Och Jetpack är ett bolag som varit med i portföljen tidigare, ett transportör och logistikfirma, och de ska ta ett större grepp om sin internationella exponering och ska växa både organiskt och via förvärv mer än 5% per år. Och de har bra kunder och är vinnare nu när restriktionerna lyfts och flygtrafiken kommer igång igen, så att vi gillar Jetpack och tycker att de har en attraktiv värdering på under 10 PE för 2023. Sedana Medical plockar vi alltså ut eftersom att vi inte ser några direkta triggers i mars, men vi gillar fortfarande Sedana Medical. I år är OMXSGI ner 15,9% och vår portfölj är ner 14%, men senast start, alltså för 5 år sedan när vi startade 2017 i februari, så har vår portfölj gått 230% och vårt benchmarkindex har gått 81% under samma period. Nu ska vi prata mer om makroläget och hur Ukraina-krisen påverkar börserna och marknaderna runt om i världen. Good morning, Harry. What does the market situations look like?
Well, I think it's a pretty good outlook, especially for US equity markets and indeed European and other global equity markets. I think the outlook is very strong for the next several weeks and months. And you know, I think the reason is really that if you look at the way equity markets behave around these kinds of events, they typically tend to make lows on the news of an invasion. So you get the day of the low is the day you get the news of the invasion. And, you know, that was the case, for example, in the Crimean crisis, the Iraq war, the Afghanistan war, the Gulf war, the Vietnam war. I mean, you look through history at comparable events and what we find is that markets are forward-looking discounting machines. So they anticipate these types of events before they happen. They make the low on the news of the event and then they rally from there.
So you think the markets will trade higher going forward?
Yeah, I think the equity market's going to rally. You know, there are lots of risks around that, of course. I mean, one of them is that, you know, I think, and this is what we've always said, that the real impact of this event on the global economy and earnings and markets, The real impact is going to come through energy prices. So I think we've got to watch that pretty closely. But I think the news flow over the last few days has been very encouraging. It looks like it's only certain Russian banks that will be excluded from SWIFT. It's not all of them. And importantly, it's not the energy ones. It's not Gazprom Bank. There's a carve out for the energy sector, which means oil and gas can keep flowing to Europe. And so we should avoid an energy crunch scenario in the Eurozone economy. You know, that's the main risk. And that, I think if we did have that, then we'd probably have a recession in Europe and indeed in other parts of the world as well. So, you know, that's the risk. I think at the moment, policymakers don't have the appetite to exclude all Russian banks and therefore cut themselves off effectively from oil and gas supply from Russia. They don't have the appetite for that. Politically, it's not palatable. They're not going to go for that. So there are other risks, of course, as well. But, you know, I think that's one of the main ones.
How will the sanctions and the fact that some Russian banks are being cut off from SWIFT affect the rest of Europe?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly a negative for the Eurozone, absolutely. And it's disruptive to business relationships, it disrupts trade, it's going to hurt growth a little bit because there are exports, of course, there's trade with Russia that will stop pretty much. So there'll be a bit of an impact there. But as I say, I think a lot of that's priced in, a lot of that has been anticipated by markets. We know about all of that. That's not really new information. And I would say as well that if you think about the Eurozone economy as a whole, households have very large levels of cash in their bank accounts. We think that spare cash is about 10% of GDP. So they've saved a lot of cash during the pandemic. There's a big cash buffer. And so I'm not too worried about that. And I think the Eurozone economy will weather the storm without too much turbulence.
And what has held up better than Europe?
Yeah, I mean, it's one step removed from the center of the crisis, from one step removed from the economic ties to Russia compared to Europe. I would say as well, you know, the US equity market was at the center of the storm in January already. So it was already quite heavily beaten up. Remember, there were lots of fears around high inflation and high interest rates. And of course, there still are those fears around. But that was creating some sector rotation in the global equity market out of tech, out of growth, out of the US and elsewhere. So, you know, the US had already moved lower. As you say, it's one step removed from the impact of sanctions on Russia.